Hey, yo, what's up? What's up? It's Lord Mav. I'm over here doing the podcast real quick. My wife ain't even understand what I was trying to say to her. You know what I'm saying? I'm over here, the radiator on. I'm cold. I don't want to be cold no more, so it's going to stay on. Y'all going to have to deal with it. It's real shit going on. This Real Nigga News, a.k.a. Don't Talk, Just Listen. You already know what's going on, right? So what I wanted to talk about today, I told you I'm on these dailies again. I wanted to talk about TV, right? Because I realized, you know, me and my wife was talking about TV, WB shows. I'm actually go ahead and turn that radiator off because I'm super, like, critical of my vocals. So we're going to go ahead and turn that off. You know what I'm saying? It's off now. You know what I'm saying, baby? But, yeah, listen, this was going on, right? So I'm talking to my wife and I'm thinking about, like, the TV shows. And I realized when I stopped watching TV, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, national programming and whatnot, broadcast television. And I was like, okay, right? I'm like, I was super excited about Jack and Bobby, but then that show went off. And then they got a show called The Mountain, Summerland, Just Legal, Related. I don't know any of those shows. And then you got Supernatural, which came out the same year as... 1 year after Jack and Bobby. And by the time Supernatural came on, I was like, even though I like Buffy and Charmed, I do not care for this show whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I fell out and I realized around 2005 is when we had cable. So now I'm able to watch cartoons forever, you know? Because once you get cable, you got Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, you got... fucking Disney XD. You got all these different... I don't know if Disney XD was around by then, but... you got all of these different stations that's dedicated to playing cartoons. And the only... you know, the point of what I'm saying is that... as a kid who didn't have cable when you was younger... you were forced... if you wanted to watch TV still... you were forced to watch shit that was being made for people not your age. So then you get to understand life a little bit better because you watching shit that's made for teenagers and older, you know? So I'm going to go through a couple of these things. Maybe I'll say something about them or not. But I just think it's important. If you're going to have TV for a kid, it's not good to have cartoons on 24 hours a day, you know? Because it's too flashy and it's too much energy constantly. And especially with cartoons progressing, it's like... they don't even be having lessons no more and shit like that, right? So the first show, that's Seventh Heaven. That show right there, what I learned from that show, that's 1996 or 2006. What I learned from that show is to take care of people, right? I don't remember nothing about that show except for I kept missing large portions of seasons. And then when I would come back, it would be more people living in their house aside from their kids. And it's like... that's real, because that's real shit that was going on in my life and the lives of people around me. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers is trying to live somewhere, and you might be the only person that can help them at that point. I don't know Savannah, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's one of those things where it's like, this is some evil-ass shit. Because, you know, we be in some Christian households. We be believing in God and shit. You ain't supposed to be over here watching no vampire show. You know what I'm saying? Charm, that's definitely some evil shit. But they had their individual lessons, but that was more just about action. You know, I think that's important because, like, when you look at broadcast television right now, what you really have is, like, a bunch of just, it's like the Friends type of shows, you know? It's different camera work, but it's the Friends type of shows. It's Friends, but they not on a set. They go outside, you know what I'm saying? They go outside and film in real locations. But aside from that, it's like, it's all like happy-go-lucky shit. And if it's drama, it's like literally drama. We got cops. We got firefighters. We got family issues. You know what I'm saying? It won't be a Buffy the Vampire Slayer where you just got a bitch fighting vampires, son. You know what I'm saying? And as a side note, I'm going to make a video on the women, right? Because it's crazy that when you talk about characters that people love, people always say, and you know, what's this dude? Your movie sucks. That's the last dude I heard make this argument. It's like when people say women in movies exist, they always talk about the chick from Aliens, right? Or they talk about the chick from Terminator, Sarah Connor or Ridley. I don't know aliens like that, so I didn't even want to say the name because I don't want to get it wrong. Ripley, I don't know her name. Just deal with it, nigga. I don't like that movie. That movie boring, and that movie is very slow. You know what I'm saying? I don't know who made that movie, but that nigga need to speed it up. I don't know what's going on with him, but he need to press fast forward on that movie because the shit is not happening fast enough for me. He wasn't old back then. I like the fucked up part. I like Alien Resurrection because that's the first Alien movie I saw, and it was some shit going down. She played basketball in that shit with Ring Rhames or some shit. It was a strong black dude, and she played basketball against him, and she was like, "Yo, shut up." She said something sassy like that. She was like, "Yo, shut up." "Yo, shut up." Mm-hmm. Then she dunked on him or something. And I was like, that's fly. That's what I like in my alien movies. I like there to be a quick basketball scene for no ass reason. You know what I mean? But the hell I'm talking about? I don't forgot. I'm talking about aliens. Oh, yeah, I was making a quick statement about women in movies. Like, Buffy should be seen as that, you know, and that's the problem. I think certain types of people get asked these questions, and the certain types of people you asking about women in movies and TV is all the dweeb geek ass niggas. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even separate. I don't separate myself from that group of people, but I have a lot of different sensibilities. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't in these cultures. It was just random movies I was seeing. I ain't know nothing about no cultures with nothing. I'm just like, okay, I seen Star Wars. I like it. You know what I'm saying? But Buffy is a good show. Charmed is a good show. And it's predominantly women. And you like those shows. And you run to go watch them shits. You know what I'm saying? I am the sun. I am the air, my nigga. I'm human. I just need to be loved. Son. Come on. I remember the theme song and all that. Dawson's Creek. Real. I forgot to do the dates. 1998 to 2003. That's one of those shows that I really didn't watch too close. Because it was a little bit too teenager for me, but I did like the theme song. And the funny part about it is when I'm thinking about it now, this shit is from 1998 to 2003 and I didn't watch that. But One Tree Hill was 2003 to 2006 and I watched the shit out that show because that's another show that had a balling ass theme song that make me as a little kid that liked music. I go and I say, I have to see every time that music comes on because imagine I'm watching shit I like and then shit I don't like come on. But then that theme song come on, and now I'm forced to go over there and check out what's happening. And then, from the first episode, even though, when the show came out, because I saw the first episode, first day, 2003, nigga, I was like 9, son. I was born 1994, so I was 9. Why is a 9-year-old standing there for the premiere of One Tree Hill? But there wasn't no cartoons on, because cartoons come on in the morning time and right after school. So if I want to watch TV and I ain't doing shit else, and on top of that, a musical cue then fucked my head up. I'm watching that shit, son. But that's so funny that it's just with Dawson's Creek running in 2003 and me only being fucking, how old, 4 when it premiered. You know my memory of it is coming from that early 2000s period, which means it wasn't too far from One Tree Hill. But by that time, solidified 2003, I was ready for more, I won't say adult topics, but, you know, older topics, ready to accept these things. So, I watched Seventh Heaven, 1996 to 2006. Shit premiered when I was 2. I don't know what Savannah is whatsoever. Buffy the Vampire Slayer was 1997 to 2001. I watched that a lot. Charmed, 1998 to 2006. I watched that a lot. Matter of fact, I got a good story about Charmed, too. A good thing that I could say about Charmed is just that, so you could probably understand a little better the era I'm coming from. When I grew up, Charmed was the three girls, like, not the big head girl that everybody be like, she difficult to work with, you know what I'm saying? She very pretty, but she got a big-ass head, you know what I'm saying? So you know who I'm talking about, because you got Paige, Piper, Prue, and I think when I say those names, I think that's the names of the people that I grew up watching. And then it was like when an older episode would come on, I would be looking at my sister. I'm like, my sister named Tiffany. I'm like, Tiffany, who is that girl right there? Why is she in this show? You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying, why is she in this show? Because when I was watching the show for the first time, it was always that third excuse me, the fourth sister that popped up after that other girl stopped being in it. Oh, so I do know. Oh, see, that's funny. I forget about Phoebe because you got Paige, Piper, and Prue, and then you got Phoebe. So because that one is phonetically different with the P, I always forget about her. So Prue is the original sister. But when I was coming up, I knew about Paige. She was the third sister. And it was like I just kept seeing Prue and I started to get confused, you know. But I, to this day, I don't even know why, like in the show, I don't know why she wasn't in the show no more. Like she probably died or something, but I wasn't privy to that. And that's a sign of old TV. Like, I love old TV. I was talking with my wife, you know, in the same conversation. And I'm like, man, it's so interesting. Because I'm looking at Charmed, or not Charmed, Buffy. And they saying Buffy moved to UPN at some point. And it's like, yo, they and Roswell moved to UPN. It's like they really used to see successful shows and try to bid, you know, outbid people for it. And then they would use that in the marketing. Like, man, Buffy is now on this channel, you know? And we don't have that anymore. And we never gonna have it again because of the streaming shit. And I really just miss broadcast television. You know what I'm saying? I miss the different ideas. I miss it. I miss it not being Family Feud on several different channels for like 4 hours straight. And also the show with the old dude that's with the Latina. The Latina, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? The old dude that's with the Latina and the two white gay people and the regular white man with the regular white woman. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to see that no more. Put something on the damn television. Please remember that even though we are one of the most successful countries, there's still people out here that don't have cable and don't have stable internet. And at this point, they really have nothing to watch. TV is trash. The converter boxes and the antennas today with these TVs don't work as well as they did back in the day. We might have static back in the day, but now we get times where you will not get a picture whatsoever. I think that's a lot worse than having to put aluminum foil you around your little antenna rabbit ears, your little antenna ears. Right, but let's move on. Dawson's Creek, 1998 to 2003. Didn't watch that like that. Felicity, 1998 to 2002. Didn't watch that like that. I have no idea what Hyperion Bay is. That's 1998 to 1999. The funny part is when you look at the shows that I don't know about, being that I was a kid and I wasn't like running to see the TV, it was like I had to find interest in it first. Savannah was 1996 to 1997. So that's a fucking pilot that didn't work or a season that didn't work. Hyperion Bay, 98 to 99, 1 year. Three, whatever that is, 1998. You know what I'm saying? So that really didn't work. Angel lasted for a while. Jack and Jill, I don't know what that is, but that's 99 to 01. Angel was 99 to 04. I'm sorry to skip over that. Popular, don't know what it is, 99 to 01. Rescue 77, 99. Roswell, know what it is, one of the best theme songs ever. That woman is a great singer, can't remember her name right now. Dido, 99 to 2001, but that's only because it moved to UPN. Safe Harbor, 99. DC, 2000. Gilmore Girls, banger. Never watched it like that, but I caught it sometimes. And I was always, not fascinated, but I sat there, you know what I'm saying? Like, when Gilmore Girls, when I passed by it, I didn't watch it for long because I'm getting older. Like, what is this, 2000 to 2006? So I didn't even know it was out in the 2000s. So I'm definitely watching it more towards 2004, where I'm now, like, how old am I? I'm, like, 11, and I more care about boy stuff. So when Gilmore Girls comes on, it's just a mother and a daughter being a mother and a daughter. But sometimes the dialogue would catch me. You know what I'm saying? Young Americans, no idea. Smallville, banger. We already know. Don't got to explain that. 01 to 06. That Last, 01. No idea what that is. Birds of Prey. Did not even know what Birds of Prey was until, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation. Or the Sexy Ass Clown Chick. But the funny thing is, it's good that I have to say this because now it's forcing me to explain that dweeb shit. I look at my, and dweeb is not a bad word to me, you know what I'm saying? It's just a funny word to me, and I like the way it sounds, so I've been using it. But it's like the nerd shit. You'll call somebody a nerd in the 1980s and up until maybe the early 2000s, and it'll be a bad thing, or, you know, 2010. But now it's just like a regular term. So nerd is just like you into all of this shit that would be deemed nerdy before recently, man. You into comic books and all of this shit. So I say I'm half into that because I was never really into comic books. Like, I like comic books for the fact that they are history. That's the dweebish shit of me. I like the history of the fact that a bunch of people done worked together to make something that turned into a goddamn universe that we can make infinite movies about. But I love movies more. And when I was growing up, I didn't grow up in the 80s. I didn't grow up in the 90s. I was a baby in the 90s. And in the early 2000s is when I grew up. And by the early 2000s, we already had X-Men, right? They had shows before. But when I was coming out, we had professional grade, actual balling ass movies. We got X-Men and we got Spider-Man. We got Daredevil. I love Daredevil, just to let y'all know. I love the way that movie is filmed. I love the acting in it, nigga. I love the dialogue. Even if it's cheesy, looking at it as an adult, it's like that shit had a feeling to it. Movies today don't be having no feeling. You just be looking at it. But it was great, man. But by that time, when I'm growing up, movies are already made. So what am I looking at a comic for? My introduction to superheroes were the movies. Older generations, their introduction to superheroes were the comic books. And that's the reason why growing up, I'm looking like I can't call myself a full dweeb. Because when I'm looking at these movies and shit, I think Rogue's power is only to take life from human beings and take the power from X-Men, excuse me, mutants. You know what I'm saying? I don't know nothing about her flying because they didn't put that shit in the movie. You know what I'm saying? I still got shit to learn. What's another one? What's another one? Is it predominantly X-Men I'm thinking about? Well, I don't know. There's more examples, but I can't really think about them right now for some reason. You know, but it's all about like the origins or like the characters, and you think that they operate in certain ways, and you being younger or not being younger, not being exposed to comic books, I'm looking at it as if these are the comic book origins come to life, you know, and then you have the later people who the later children who experience the MCU as their first introduction to superheroes. And it's a little bit more accurate, but it's a little bit less soul in it because it's so fucking, yeah, we gotta get this money. You know what I'm saying? We gotta get this money. Sorry. Let me move on. I forgot. So you got, where was we at? We did Popular, Rescue 7, Roswell, Safe Harbor 99, DC 2000, Gilmore Girls 2006. Young Americans 2000, don't know that. Smallville, Ballin, Banger. Birds of Prey is where we was at. 02 to 03. That, I said all that shit to just explain, you know, how crazy it is that Birds of Prey was even on WB from 2002 to 2003. And I did not mistake it at all because as soon as I seen Smallville come out 2001 and Birds of Prey come out 2002, I already knew it was a spinoff, man. That's crazy. Everwood. 02 to 06. I don't know this show for some reason, even though it ran for a long time. Let's check that out. Everwood is an American drama television series created by Greg Berlanti. None of that matters. Let's go to the plot. Oh, it says whatever. The series begins. Oh, hell no. We not doing that. The series begins with, we never going to know what Everwood is about because the description on Wikipedia is not giving me an overall plot. It's giving me the events, and I don't care enough to check that out because I'm talking about balling shows. What was that? That was Everwood. Glory Days, 02. Never heard of it. Black Sash. What the hell? That just sound racist as hell. What is this? And it starred a nigga named Russell Wong. What is this show about? I gotta check this out. I'm sorry. Okay, plot. Tom Chang, Russell Wong, is a former undercover narcotics cop who was framed for smuggling heroin and spent 5 years incarcerated in a Hong Kong prison. This shit sound like already, it sound like that game I love, Yakuza. You know what I'm saying? I love that game. I can't beat it, and I woke my whole family up getting mad at that dude that keep following you. You know what I'm saying? But it's okay. It's all right. You heard? Having lost his career, his wife, and even the legal right to see his preteen daughter, he returns home to San Francisco to try to restore his former life. Okay. All right. Well, he doing some whatever. That don't matter. Tarzan, 03, crazy. One Tree Hill, sexy. 03 to 06. Jack and Bobby, the last time I looked for a show. Because, you know what I'm saying? We had illegal cable real quick. But then we got regular cable. You know what I'm saying? And then we got, like, DirecTV or some shit. We got satellite. So there's a lot of shit going on in my house. And now I can watch cartoons on a daily basis all goddamn day. Instead of just watching PBS before school and watching WB after school until 5 o'clock hit. And then I watch Cyber Chase. You know what I'm saying? That was my ritual. But once we get here, Jack and Bobby, I was as a child. Now, keep in mind, I'm a child. That show premiered in 2004. And I was there for the premiere because I was very interested in the show. And the conversation that I'm sparking now is that old TV, being that you didn't have cartoons all day, it forced you to watch something a little bit more serious, right? Even as a child. So I was already into presidents. In my house, we had a little bookshelf that my grandfather made, supposedly. We had a bookcase and we had a lot of books in there. And one of the books was a presidential book that had, like, facts about the presidents. But it wasn't a child's book. It was, like, a decent school-grade book where it really gave you the president, their origin, like, where they came from, how they got into being a president, you know, facts about them and all of that shit. And it was very detailed. And it was all of the presidents up until, I think the book ran until, what's her name with the saxophone? Bill Clinton, you know what I'm saying? I think the book was made in like 90 after I was born, definitely, because I'm quite sure Bill Clinton was in there, but Bush was not in there. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe Bush was in there, but I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember having questions with my mother. I'm like, oh, the president is Bush. You know, who is this guy? And it's like, that's his father. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if Bush was in that book. But I'm just saying that to say I was already interested in presidents at the time. So when I heard about a show called Jack and Bobby coming out and it was about JFK, first of all, I was confused as hell because they would not say this show was about JFK, but they kept like alluding to it. And, you know, I don't know, but I was very interested in this show, man. And I'm like, oh, the fucking Logan Learman played the younger. Wow, man, that's crazy. I like Logan Learman. He was in so many movies. I'm about to go off on a tangent. Uh-oh. I really like Logan Learman, man. That's a cool fucking dude. Is he married to that chick? Who's he married to? I don't know. Either way, that's a cool dude, man. Yeah, he got a cool face about him, and he was in a lot of movies I like. But, whatever. I don't want to get into it. Anyway, damn, I done lost myself. Think about this dude. Pause. Anyway, Logan Learman played in the show Jack and Bobby. But the show, I didn't know him at the time. But the show was, it's like, let me read it, right? The series follows the lives of 15-year-old Jack and 13-year-old Bobby McAllister, two teen boys being raised by their strong-willed mother Grace in a small Missouri college town. Grace is a history professor at the local university and has an unconventional approach to parenting, which includes discouraging her sons from watching TV. Elder brother Jack is popular and the star of the track team, while Bobby is nerdy and asthmatic. Each episode is interspersed with flash forwards from a documentary about the life of President McAllister, who would take office in the 2040s. The documentary clips feature interviews with members of the McAllister administration, reflecting on the president's years in office. I had to burp, excuse me, I'm drinking. And how his formative experiences shaped his later life and how he governed. It is not revealed which of the McAllister brothers would later become president until the end of the pilot episode. So they didn't explain it fully, and keep in mind this is Wikipedia written by regular ass motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? That's not working with the show to say I have to explain it this specific way to get the message across. But for me, it was very interesting because, and Bradley Cooper is in the show. I got to check that out, what he looked like at the time. But it's just interesting to me because when the show was kicked, it was kicked as like a fictionalized version of JFK's life. Because as you see in the description, it says that whoever becomes president in 2040. So, of course, it's pretending. Not pretending. The show took place in the early 2000s. You know what I'm saying? And thinking about it, it's probably the younger brother, because the older brother would have been nearing 20 at the time in the early 2000s. In 2040, he would be about 60. And I don't think anybody at that time would imagine that we would have fucking 60-year-old presidents running for president. You know what I'm saying? But maybe, whatever. Anyway, what I'm saying is that the show really attracted me because it was a show about JFK. And I was interested in shit like that. But of course the show didn't do well because it's a drama. But it's drama with a lot less umph to it, right? Seventh Heaven, we Christians. We got motherfuckers in the house. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, we drama, but we fighting vampires, nigga. Charmed, we drama, but we got witches. How you like that? We got witches and angels in the show. Dawson's Creek, we drama, but we little ass kids. You know what I'm saying? We ain't little ass kids, but we in high school. We drama, but we in high school. Felicity, we drama, but I don't know how to explain this shit, so we just got J.J. Abrams, and he be writing shit that people like, so this is why the show was up there. You know what I'm saying? What's the next one that worked? Angel. We drama, but this time, it's a spinoff of Buffy. You know what I'm saying? That's funny. I love Angel so much. That shit was so balling. When that show came out, and I, you know, looking at the shit, bro, I don't understand. I'm entirely confused at how conscious I have to be at the ages that I'm remembering these shows, because I remember Angel coming on for the first time, but that's 1999 and I was only 5. You know what I'm saying? So how does that make sense? It's like, nigga, how the fuck am I 5 remembering this? But it's like, maybe I'm not remembering that, because actually, now that I think about it, this is why it's good to talk to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because you figure things out. Now that I'm remembering when I found out about Angel, it was at the Decal place, which I didn't move to until about, let me see. I got to PS54 in second grade. So I didn't get to Decal until third or fourth grade, which is because of when I was born, my years aligned with the year I was in school. So me, third or fourth grade, I mean, it's 2003 or 2004. Angel was running since 1999, right? So if I only moved there 2003 or 2004, that means that at some point, coincidentally, this is why it's funny as hell, right? Because coincidentally, I ended up seeing Buffy first, and then I saw the pilot episode somehow. It was on a rerun, and I ended up seeing the pilot episode for Angel and mistook the situation for being that Angel was a new-ass show, even though it's been running for like 3 years by the time I saw it. I love TV so much, man. I hate it, but I love it so much. We had Angel, right? No, we're not an angel. Why did I even talk about that? No, I was just on to different things. So a lot of these shows, and this is funny because a lot of these shows are not working. Like, let's be real with it. We got Smallville, ballin', but then we got Dead Last, Birds of Prey, Everwood, Glory Days, Black Sash, Tarzan, One Tree Hill, another ballin' one. But that's 6 failed shows between 2 successful ones. And then we got Jack and Bobby, The Mountain, Summerland, Just Legal, Related, and then Supernatural. Ain't no way Supernatural only ran from 2005 to 2000. What is niggas talking about, son? Because I remember Supernatural being on for fucking ever. That show would not stop, son. Why is it? Oh, because Pix took over. Wow, yo. TV is so goddamn interesting. Goodness gracious, bro. I just blew my own mind. Do you understand that Supernatural, the last dates for dramas is 2006? Because maybe Pix took over by that time. Yeah, everything ends by 2006. Wow, that's incredible. Because I'm like, you know, me looking at it on face value, just like I just said, I'm like, nah, this shit was on for fucking ever. So why are they saying this from 2005 to 2006? But WB is not a thing anymore. You know what I'm saying? So I would have to go now to a Pix. What the fuck is this? Broadcast programs. They have specific names. That's why it took so long. I would have to go to a Pix list of programs to find out the rest of the run of Supernatural. But what I meant to say is that by the time Supernatural came on, right, I had cable definitely, so I wasn't fucking with TV no more. And Supernatural was like a worse version of Buffy and Charmed, so I didn't want to watch that shit. You know what I'm saying? I was burnt out on evil-ass shows, and I really like those old characters. You know what I'm saying? I really like Charmed. It was so fantastic to see an angel character in one, and to see this nigga just exists, and now he's with this witch, and they have a kid, and he's half angel-ass nigga, and motherfuckers is teleporting. This the first time I was exposed to effects of that degree, and to see those effects being used on a TV show, to see that motherfuckers' theme songs was balling, and then in every song, they would play small songs, and then they would premiere a song. And me being, understanding who I am now with how I make music, I always loved music, son. And it was such a beautiful thing. Even though I don't buy records. I've never bought a CD. I've never bought a record. But I live in the modern day now, and I'm able to find music. So it's such a beautiful thing to have such good music in a show and you premiere it. Right? It's the same thing as when the YouTubers today go, hey, I'ma say this sponsor shit, and then the real part of the video you was waiting for, that's coming after the sponsor. I stuck around. Even as a fucking 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 year old, I stuck around for WB. Maybe not 13, because these niggas clearly stopped in 2006. I don't know how old I was. But clearly, I stuck around for the advertisement to end, right? We used to call them commercials. Before they, you know what I'm saying? Before they went back to being ads. But I waited for the commercial to end, and I stuck around because at any moment that commercial might end. So I don't want to leave the room to go do some dickhead little kid shit and miss out on finding out what the name of this song is. I was a child, nigga, and I still stuck around to find out what that song was, because that song always coincided with the feelings. The feelings come to a head at the end of the episode. So the music is balling to that degree. And that song is very important to my life as an adult. These songs, for some reason, and this is a whole different part of a podcast, right? Shit like, you know what I'm saying? Wake me up when September, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that. When you see my face, hope it gives you hell, hope it gives you. You know what I'm saying? Come on, son. Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be. These are the songs that did not shape me, but they did shape me. But I was black. I'm only talking about this because they was a big part of these shows on WB, but I think this is what I need to talk about right now. These songs are so important to me. right? There's a place on Ocean Avenue where I used to sit and talk with you. We were both 16 and we felt so right. Sleeping all day, staying up all. You know what I'm saying? These are songs that are so important to me as an adult. And the sonics of them made me gravitate to them as children, as a child. But who would know that one day the songs that were just sonically pleasing and made me a little bit down would end up being songs that could perfectly describe some of the ways that I've been feeling as an adult. Ways that I only feel because of some of the things that my life ended up being as a child. So being an adult, it's like, maybe I gravitated towards these songs because they carry frequencies that was actually relating to the things that I was feeling deep inside that I never even thought about because you were a child. You worried about playing. As long as you had a good regular ass day, most of the time you ain't really thinking about the shit that goes on. Even me, I think about the shit that goes on, but am I really like sitting here like, oh man, I don't see my father like that? You don't think about that shit. But I do cry. Every time I leave my father's house, I cry. And I'm such a fucking in tune person in myself that one day my mother, she was talking about how you don't cry when you leave me, but you cry when you leave your father. But I'm the one here for you. You know what I'm saying? So one day when I was leaving to go to my father's house, I cried. And I had that ability. I literally had tears dropping. Excuse me. You already know what it is. There's nobody who was standing in that house that day that could have said, I actually don't want to leave my mother. You know what I'm saying? Or I actually do want to go to my father's house. If anybody would have witnessed that shit, they would have said the same thing. Well, it seems like you want to stay. But I didn't want to stay. I just didn't want my mother to feel bad. And that wasn't even at DeKalb. That was at Spencer Street, which means that that moment came before third grade, which means I was in about second or first grade when I did that shit. It's fun to think about years because you don't think about these shits while you're growing up. Getting older, you think about this shit. In second grade or lower, right? But listen, because I don't know. I think I moved to DeKalb in fourth grade. So we'll say third or second grade. That's the only 2 years. It's the only thing possible. Because I only lived there for a year or two. So it's either third grade or second grade. And I'm already sitting here with the ability to cry on command. Planned it previously to do it. Because I don't want my mother to feel like I care about my father more than I care about her. What kind of fucking child is that? Like, when you think about that, that's not even a child, nigga. That's a grown-ass man. That's crazy as hell, son. That's not a child. Nigga said, what's going on there? That shit crazy, son. So much emotional maturity at such a young age. And I won't say that it's not because of these goddamn TV shows, man. I'm watching Friends, right? Now, the funny thing about TV shows is, before recently, right? We don't have a show about Lucifer. We got shows about people just trying to be people. And at the end of the day, every show ended with a lesson. Seventh Heaven, a lesson. Buffy, a lesson. Charmed, a lesson. Didn't watch Dawson's Creek. Didn't watch Felicity. Fucking Angel, a lesson. You know what I'm saying? Roswell, a lesson, right? Gilmore Girls, goddamn, definitely a lesson, my nigga. All of these things ended with a lesson about being a better person. I'm not over here watching Tom and Jerry all goddamn day smacking each other. I'm watching shows created by smart people with good ideas who are able to create interesting things that's going to make you look at it and it's also going to make you think about the world around you. We do not have that shit to the same degree that we had it back then. And especially not for the poor child. Because the poor child does not have Netflix. The poor child does not have cable. maybe they have these things, but I think that we should stop giving everybody so much, right? Because these things are important, man. These lessons are important. It was very interesting for me. Because I'm black and because I'm from New York, it was very interesting. It was a fantastic piece of history to learn that Sesame Street, and I keep pronouncing this shit weird as hell. I don't know why. I'm an adult. You know, back in the day, my homie keeps saying Pokemon. He keeps saying shit like Pokemon. I don't know what he's saying, but he keeps saying Pokemon wrong. And it's like, nigga, we was little ass kids when Pokemon came out. Why you keep saying this shit like that? You know what I'm saying? But it's funny as hell, man. I don't know. Man, I lost my way. I was talking about real shit, but at some point, you know, I forgot whatever grand purpose or point I was trying to make. But at the end of the day, none of that shit matters. All that matters is that this was my original point, right? I went off on several tangents. My original point is just that, man, it was a glorious thing to be a child growing up in a situation where I'm able to see what's going on with people older than me and learn about these things before. And when it comes to the music that was exposed to me, I'm able to hear the music and not understand at that time. It's like a time travel movie, right? It's like a time travel movie. At the time of hearing these white songs that I just gave to you, and excuse me for calling it that, but as a child, I grew up in Brooklyn and I'm black, so nobody was listening to this music. Nobody around me is white and nobody's listening to this music. So when I go and I listen to it, I explain it as being white music, especially when I started to get a little bit more funny and outgoing, you know? But it's fucking white music, you know what I'm saying? But this white music, a lot of the topics that they were talking about, it's, you know, things that people in the black culture don't talk about. Depression and shit like that, right? What you're going through with your emotions, you know what I'm saying? We don't be talking about that. A lot of our shit just be stunting so that we can ignore all the ways we feel. Bitch, I got a car on the chain, and that fixed all my emotional problems until I lose it, and now I'm out here ready to kill a nigga because I never worked on my emotional problems. You know what I'm saying? But on the other side, there's a place on Ocean Avenue where I used to sit and talk with you. We were both 16, and it felt so right. Sleeping all day, staying up all night. And we used to do that. So now we do something different, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? What's the other song? I'll give you my dirty little, you know what I'm saying? Don't tell anyone or you'll be just another. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was a kid and I heard these songs, it gave me a special feeling because these lyrics, like, when I say something, because I think this shit is interesting, this nigga Ice-T did a documentary. I don't know if he did it, but he was like the figurehead of the documentary. And he was talking to his wife real quick. It was a documentary on hip hop. He was talking to his wife about music. And he said something specific. And she was like, oh, I don't really listen to the lyrics. I kind of just listen to the beat. And he's like, I work so hard on these lyrics, and you ain't even listening to them? She like, she started laughing. She like, I'm sorry. But like, as a hip hop nigga, you like, God damn, nigga, like, I really sat here and thought about life to write these motherfucking lyrics, and you only listening to the beat, the thing that I have nothing to do with, the thing that can invoke emotion, but can never explain the lives that we live. You know? That's Dirty Little Secrets, man. It's explaining a side of life that I might have felt, but I didn't know I felt. I got fucking fucked with. I wouldn't call it bullying because I'm black. I don't give a fuck. Nigga, if I really wanted to do something about this shit, I would knock one of y'all niggas out. I may not know how to knock a nigga out when I was younger, but I did fight motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Only reason why I may not do this and that is because I got older and guns started to come into play, and I got a little bit motherfucking terrified of not knowing who the fuck got a gun, this, this, and that. I ain't never gonna have one. Not to say I ain't gonna never have one now, but if I have one, I want it to be under legal circumstances, you know what I'm saying? But as a kid, that was out of the question for me, and I wasn't trying to be on no shit, and I couldn't trust anybody anymore to throw hands, because everybody pussy. So, you know what I'm saying? That's why as I got a little bit older, I stopped fucking around with fighting like that. So I stopped trusting motherfuckers' ability to have a fair goddamn fight. But it's still like, it's life being explained to you before you really experience it. And then you get older and you're like, God damn, son. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't remember the song. It's from my niggas. I'm thinking of Helena, but that's not the song that I'm thinking of. From My Chemical Romance. I got a bar. Like, this shit is so into me. I have a bar. Right? Nigga said, chemically, romance is breaking me down, but I'll be okay. And that's a play on I'm Not Okay by My Chemical Romance. That's a song. That's a line from a song on my first fucking album, son. You know what I'm saying? And I just found the song because I made a bar off of it. It's I'm Not Okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm not okay. I'm not okay. That shit funny, son. I'm at the point where I can't sing for shit, but I'm comfortable singing now. Because why not be comfortable, man? I love music. I love that shit. And I think in a way I'm supposed to be, I'm like, I'm meant to fuck with this shit. Like, there's no way in hell. I don't even think I believe in coincidences. There's no way in hell. I tried to rap before. Couldn't do it. Cousin found my bars. A cousin that I really respect and rap. The cousin that was rapping in my face that probably influenced me into this shit a little bit. And this motherfucker found my bars and I threw my whole book out because I thought they was trash. All for me to be respected by him and everybody who used to rap in my face as one of the best motherfucking rappers in our circle, son. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine throwing a book out because you feel like you trash? Not just because somebody that you respect found your bars, because you knew in yourself that those bars was corny even before you was a real nigga with ability to rap. And then you figure that shit out and come back with all this ability, and niggas is like, bro, you might be the greatest out of all of us. That shit feel great and it feel crazy. And I feel like I'm wasting my potential. I don't know how I ended up here, but like I said, this might be just what I need to talk about. For anybody who ends up here because I'm doing more podcasts, just understand that I started this podcast because I was confused about the world and I was moving on my Israelite shit and I believe in God. And also, I believe that this country can be a great country if, I don't fuck with no government, I don't fuck with no country, but any country can be great, meaning that they can treat their people right if they just want to do it. But from what I see, our governments don't want to do those things. They don't want to do right by us. And being that I'm a nigga that caught an ACS case for smoking weed, right? Not that it affected my son in any way, but within the law, smoking weed at all and being high and taking care of a kid means neglect. Not for alcohol. As long as you're not belligerently drunk off alcohol, they won't call it neglect. But if it's weed, it's called neglect. So at that point, they could do anything. Because I caught that, I ended up meeting a person that said he went to school for government and he described the government as just like a parent. And being that I was going through an ACS case, I was able to make that connection to say, if I was a parent and I gave my child fucked up food and fucked up water and I gave them fucked up messages and manipulated them into fighting people that did them no personal wrong, then I would be seen as a bad parent worthy of having my children taken away from me. So why is it that a country is able to do these things as an authoritative figure or authoritative? I don't know which one, you know what I'm saying? I'm still from Brooklyn. I'm
I'm a little tiny bit more educated than a couple other niggas, but a lot of that education just comes from me looking at the world. I may not know specific words that I'm supposed to be using and how to use them, but I'm still keeping them real. You know what I'm saying? They don't treat us as if we're their children. They don't treat us as if they're actually in control of us, and they make so much money off of us that they have an obligation to treat us properly. They don't do that. This podcast got started primarily. Now, I was working on it. Not working on it. The idea for it came. Matter of fact, the idea for it did come after Trump. The idea for this shit came after Trump, son, because motherfuckers was so gung-ho on everything is racist. But before 2016... Before 2016 and before, you know what I'm saying, before that, because I started to get into all this truth shit around 13, 14. So niggas was calling me woke and this shit meant a bad thing. It was like, yo, you stuck in the past. I literally had a girl my age say to me, why you blame the white man for all your problems? To then move into 2016 and have black people blaming the white man for all their problems and calling themselves woke, even though it was a negative term just a couple years before that. So I started the podcast because I wanted to let niggas know that this shit is crazy. And then as I started to go through more motherfucking things, I wanted to let niggas know that they was being manipulated. And as I started to go through more life things and started to gain more experience on life and go through more problems, I started to use this shit as my own personal therapy. Because I don't personally believe that. I think that the people around you should be the people that's listening out for what you're going through. Some people don't have any people around them. Some people have solely people around them that don't really care about what they're going through. But because I talk so much and because I wanted to talk about this podcast shit, I got very comfortable talking about shit that I feel up here. Until the point where I started talking about shit that I really feel up here. I'm talking about shit that I'm going through up here. You know what I'm saying? So this shit for me is therapy to be able to explain how I feel about the world and the things that I clearly see going on. And this is just a part of that, because I feel every single life, every single story, every single one of us and every day that we live is important in some way. It may not be important to the rest of the world, but it's important to you. And it might be important to a couple more motherfuckers that's not you and that don't even know you. Because there's plenty of times that I done search something up on YouTube, search something up on the internet to have a person tell a personal story that ends up relating to my life so good that it helps me that day. It may not help me forever, but it helped me right then. I talk to bums, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes. Because I refuse to have somebody talking to me and I just ignore them, you know what I'm saying? I'm more likely to do it now because I'm jaded from all my problems and not wanting to give myself anymore to everybody for them to give me the bare minimum in return. So I might skip over a conversation now. But back in the day, I'm the king of talking to a bum ass nigga. And it solidified that it's a fine thing, because one day I was walking with my mother and some bum ass nigga was sitting there in Central Park in Harlem. And he was like, hey, yo, y'all a beautiful couple. And me and my mother like, man, we mother and son, you know what I'm saying? He like, oh, I'm sorry about that, you know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? Y'all would have made a beautiful couple. But for real, man, if you be going through things with your woman, sometimes you go through things and it seems like people ain't trying to listen to you. And then this nigga proceeded to explain everything that I was going through with a solution for it. That's a bum ass nigga that don't know nothing about me. This nigga was just living life sitting on the side of Central Park. Now, I don't know if he's a bum ass nigga, but looking at him and where he was sitting, you know what I'm saying? Seemed like a bum ass nigga to me. But somehow this nigga, and I'll say, because this is what I felt, this nigga connected to God. This nigga might be an angel. The angels, based off the information that I come in contact with, they can look like humans sometimes. That's what I think about the motherfucking Puerto Rico that found us some water. And then he found us water at a light pole. We went out to go find water because our our fucking plumbing wasn't on because we didn't know you had to get the plumbing on first in Puerto Rico. You had to get it on for it to be on. You had to call somebody and get that shit done. So we went out to look for water and a random ass Puerto Rican motherfucker popped up to show us. It was without question. He saw us with bottles and he said he came out of nowhere. And that nigga said he directed us to the water. He spoke just enough English to direct us to the water. And then we started pumping the water into the bottle. And when we looked up, that man was gone. We were on an open street. There was nowhere for him to go. You know what I'm saying? It, because we from Brooklyn and we real niggas, if he would have went behind us, we would have saw that. So I'm telling you, that man left in our eyesight. We only looked down for a couple seconds to make sure that the shit worked. And by the time we looked up, that man was no longer anywhere in the vicinity, son. Sometimes there's real shit going on. Sometimes you pass by a motherfucker that might be an angel sitting at Central Park. That's you going through so much shit. And you've been talking about that shit with your mother. And then this motherfucker pop up and make a statement that make you stop and talk to him. And then he proceed to talk about your whole life and try to help you with it. Even though he don't know you from nobody else on this earth. What are the odds that a man stops you randomly and then proceeds to talk about everything you're going to? Like, think about that. If you're a mathematician and you somehow on this podcast, literally, what are the odds of that, of everybody who lives in New York and all the problems that you could probably have, that this nigga would stop me and talk about exactly what I'm going through? Everything is important, man. I probably explained this idea before. And it's a cool idea for a movie, and I would love to be the first person to get it off, but I would love for that shit to just exist. So if you're a movie producer and you a sleazy dirtbag, take this shit. But just, you know what I'm saying? Put my name in it, bro. Connor Harrell. Story stolen from Connor Harrell. And then when I come up, if that shit blow up and it's hot, I'ma come up and I'll be like, yeah, I'm Connor Harrell. And this is the podcast where I said when a sleazy dirtbag ass producer pop up and he stole my idea, I'm for it. All he gotta do is just let niggas know that I'm balling at making story ideas, right? So my man's, and we're gonna start with him, because he probably sparked this idea. My man's low key the rap god of mischief. My son, he was talking about I don't wanna say his idea, but he was talking about a movie with multiple characters. I don't want to say his idea because I'm giving up my idea to the universe. I don't want to give his idea. But based off his idea, the idea for me was sparked where it'd be balling as shit to have a movie where everybody is everything is connected, but nothing is connected, right? It'd be balling to have a movie where we touch on every single genre. We have an action movie. We have a romance. We have a comedy. We have a horror movie, right? And all it would really take is to say this. This is how it goes. A man and a woman leave their house. There's silence. They make their way to a theater. It's silence mostly on the way there. When they get there, they sit down and they at a comedy show. While they're at the comedy show, the woman looks over to the man or the man looks over to the woman. And they say something that sparks the argument. The argument of why they were so silent the whole time they were making their way there. Because they have tension, but they had somewhere to go. They already paid for this shit and they trying to make it through their tension to go enjoy themselves. But in the end, they cannot ignore the feelings that they have. So they walk out and leave. But when they walk out and leave, the camera doesn't leave with them. The camera then focuses on the comedian. Super juxtaposition. They just left in anger, in fury, in an argument, but we're not going with them. We're going to stay with the comedian because now we just went from tension and drama and romance to comedy. And now we're with the comedian, watching him perform his set, make everybody laugh, comment on the thing that just happened, and keep going to where now we watching him be praised, right? And then where do you go from that? I don't know. But I'm sure a producer could get a couple writers and figure that shit out. Where do you go from that? You go to maybe the comedian is dealing with a lot of shit at home. Excuse me. Let's say the comedian is dealing with a lot of shit at home and he's not making enough money. In a juxtaposition of what we're used to. I'm burping a lot, y'all. I'm drunk as shit. Leave me alone. But I'm giving you good ideas. Juxtaposition. Instead of a husband going to war, the wife goes to war. And this dealing with the certain things that we see in the society we have created today. Which is the man is now fucked up in the head from all the years. All this bullshit. From all the years of specific niggas saying, hey, we gotta get rid of these men because they too strong and we want to control things. We have been dealing with that for decades and centuries and millennia. So we broken. So the women gotta do all the goddamn work. You know what I'm saying? World War II, nigga. World War II, nigga. So it's the juxtaposition. The woman is now, because you want to fulfill your dreams and you got bullshit going on. And you not doing it to the best ability it can be done. We have to figure something out. I'm about to go to the army. And the woman goes to the army. And now we have an action movie. Because she's in the army. Simple things. You might think it's racist, but let's be real. Chinese people believe in a lot of crazy ass shit. You know what I'm saying? The only difference being that when Americans believe in shit, we believe in it as, hey, this is shit from our movies and TV where these people have beliefs that they still believe in, that the movies and TV is only meant to explain these shits. You know what I'm saying? And because their culture is more tight-knit, the beliefs and fears that they have are closely shared. Whereas because we are a bunch of people, and I'm talking about America right now, because we are a bunch of people from a bunch of different lands, we carry different fears and different beliefs. Right? So you can look at a Chinese person and say, this motherfucker probably gonna be scared of a pale motherfucking face ass little girl with dark hair that's floating around and shit. You know what I'm saying? Keep it real. Cabin in the woods, nigga. That shit was racist as hell. I'm just playing with you. But anyway, I'm talking about the fact that what we're dealing with is belief systems, and you have to adhere to those things. So basically, if a Chinese person, let's say we're going to war with China in the situation where the woman is now going to work, she's going to war to try to take care of the family. And that's the reason why we moved on from the comedy to the action. Then we can move on to the action, from the action to the horror, when we go from the war is ending or somebody gets hurt in a way. Let's say somebody gets hurt and the war is between America and China. Excuse me, because I don't know if like the Juwan shit, I don't know if that shit comes from, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. I like to keep it real, but I also like to respect people. I don't know if that shit comes from China or Japan, so I'm gonna just keep it real with you. But on the side of that, let's say that a soldier on the Chinese or Japanese side gets hurt during the war, right? And he gets hurt by the woman that we just watched leave the comedian. Then we could have that same scene, because this movie is meant to be fluid. Everything is moving from character to character. Every scene, the scene transitions, right? Let's say if we have 5-6 genres and every genre takes 20 minutes or so, we can have a 2-hour movie. We have 6 different genres, 20 minutes each, like skits. We can have a 2-hour movie. Every transition between our different genres and scenes is all, like, we got to try to have this shit balling, like, one shot looking like all the way through for the producers, the sleazy dirtbag producers that's going to steal this. We got to have it looking like one shot all the way through. And our transitions only being, the only transitions being when we move from that last genre, leaving our frame of reference or leaving our frame of view or vision to moving on to the next genre that we're moving on to, right? So we have that. the woman that had to go to war to sustain the comedian's bum ass life. She shoots the Chinese or Japanese motherfucker or Taiwanese or whatever else exists. And then he gets honorably discharged and he goes home. Very drunk, I apologize. But let's say in the process, let's say during the war he did a lot of crazy shit. Or before the war he did a lot of crazy shit. And somehow, or let's say he was running from a ghost that was in his house. And that's the reason why he left. And when he returns, his wife has killed herself and the child. And it's because of the ghost. And now he's back home and he has to deal with the situation. Now we just moved on from action to horror. I'm giving it to you, Hollywood. Take it. Because your ideas are trash. In fact, you don't even have ideas no more. You just have copies of copies at this point. It's like you took... You take Pulp Fiction, right? This is how it is with popular movies. You take Pulp Fiction, and you make a copy of that. And then when you make that, you make a copy of that. And then you make a copy of that. And that's how you get to today, where every movie is an MCU movie. I'm peeing. Blush. That's supposed to symbolize old Hollywood being flushed down the drain to make way for literally just Lord Math. Keep telling everybody, give me all the stories, with the exception of movies like Faults. Sexy movie. When that chick said, lick my face, my mouth started watering. I'm like, damn, this is not even a sexy movie. But she said, lick my face so real. I was like, damn, I kind of wish I was playing the nigga. I would like to partake in some face licking. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how I got here, but I'm keeping it real. This nigga's so stupid, yo. Anyway, man, this shit went on for way too long. This shit is over an hour. I just wanted to let y'all know that. Broadcast television in the 2000s was the peak of broadcast television because we still had the late nights and we still had the goofy-ass sitcoms like Friends, but we also had chances being taken on shit like, even like early 2000s, we were still predominantly a Christian culture. So to have Seventh Heaven running in a profitable way and also have Charmed running and Buffy in a predominantly Christian country, I understand how the devil is trying to take hold, but I could also talk about the world in a way where, as I seen it when I was a kid, and that's fucking balling. You know what I'm saying? It's balling that it worked. And it worked because it was well written. I think that children benefit from seeing cartoons sometimes. We need a mixture. We need a mixture of goofy cartoons, educational cartoons, and then allowing children to just see regular shit made for human beings that are going through real life situations, because every child is going to go through one of these situations in their life. If not all, they're going to go through one of these situations. And if TV can be entertaining, just the same as Sesame Street, if TV can be entertaining and also teach us something, then why not do that? But if you got cartoons playing all day, then a child would never make it to see the Dawson's Creeks and the One Tree Hills and watching a brother not fuck with another brother. You know what I'm saying? Maybe got different fathers, but being in competition with each other. Going through teenage romances where, you know, even though I'm 9 or so, I would go through some of these things. And maybe if I would have watched these shows more closely, I would have taken some more lessons from these things to where, because we had lessons in these shows, what you want to do? You want to feel good or you want to do the right thing? And I guess that's where I ended, man. It's Lord Mav. That's Don't Talk, Just Listen. AKA Real Nigga News. And I'm out. Hope you enjoyed that little talk. I definitely did. It's helpful for me. Hope it's helpful for you. I'm out, man. Peace.